Welcome to the Enlighten Up Podcast, where I am going to take you into a deep exploration of what it means to exist in this current reality. We are going to raise your vibes, open your mind, expand your heart, and dive deep into the wondrous mysteries and possibilities of this lifetime. There's been a spiritual catalyst that has set in motion the awakening process of many across the globe to return to the knowingness of self and unite what has been separated. Together, we're going to bring light into that darkness. We're going to remember the joy of living. But most of all, we're going to turn up the volume of our own eternal power and do the thing we're here to do. Hey everyone, welcome back to what is going to be a very intense Scorpionic episode because we have our full moon eclipse happening in Scorpio at 14 degrees and 57 minutes. And of course, who better than to have our favorite astrologer, seer, beautiful Scorpionic lady herself, Mary Ducina. Welcome back to the show, sweetie. How are you doing?
Thank you for all the love. I feel the love. Thank you, audience. Nicole and I send waves and pulsations and frequencies of light upon you all this very night. And not only this 5-5 lunar eclipse in Scorpio. Scorpio's intense enough. It didn't need any other curtain to be drawn back. But just know that as you're beginning to wiggle in and get in the live chat room and enjoy Nicole's calming Taurian energy, know that this cycle, Nicole and I were just musing over it, this cycle is first and foremost about you allowing yourself to power rest, to recoup, to recoil, to, you know, recoil from everything that's drama, trying to draw you into an episode of drama. There's enough drama going on in the external all the time for generations. So this is that point where Taurus is saying, I'm the seed of the flower or the herb or the tree or the plant that you put into the ground. The beautiful, loamy, rich, nutrient-packed earth that you've put over me, I must have my time. I must sleep as a seed and break the casing and emerge into my new aspects of life. And our task, I think, Nicole and beautiful audience, and thank you for your time and your energy and support, is that we are emerging from seeds. And so therefore, it is metamorphic, it is transformative, it is the phoenix. Instead of rising from the ashes, we've been buried as seeds, heavenly seeds, to come upon our biological mother, our mother earth, our mother nature, Gaia. And so right now is the season in 2023 for a seeding of our evolving heavenly selves. And so we want to put our disciple focus, which does require discipline. I always say to my clients in lectures, seminars, workshops, if you want to be a disciple of what you wish to see manifest or emerge, you must apply discipline. Discipline, disciple. So right now we are seeds in the season of Taurus. The full moon lunar eclipse in mid-degree Scorpio Taurus is saying your currency is your energy. And so if we are allowing and not blocking that our value, our better worth is the currency that we're allowing right now for us to self-nurture, get a massage, go get a different haircut or hairstyle, do have that wonderful meal with someone that doesn't have bougie kind of extra energy that drains you and you feel obligated to see that family member or obligated to go attend that friend and you don't really feel it in your soul and your heart. No, save that for Gemini. This is, I don't really do it anytime, but save that for Gemini. You know, this is our time to burst open a seed casing. Most seed casings are a little firm. They're a little hard, you know, just like there's a hard shell covering the beautiful birds that are beginning to be in eggs and then fly and be songbirds and again be the citizens of our earth mother and do what they need to do with bugs and nest and things. So we're nesting, we're seeds, but we're going into the metamorphic, transformative, transitional emerging from the seed casing. So instead of the phoenix rising from its ashes of spontaneous combustion, which is epiphanies and aha moments of Scorpio. Yeah, that's there. That's there. It's a lunar eclipse. It's the Vesak, Wesak, Buddha moon, the second of three ascended masters full moons in a row that only occur at the full moon of Libra, this one, the full moon of Scorpio, and the next one, the full moon that illuminates Sagittarius, which is known as the Festival of Goodwill. So the full moon of the Christos, the Christ ascended light, is every time the moon is full in Libra. The Buddha moon, where we release attachments and we go into the it is what it is, work on yourself so that you're not being cursed or drained from whatever the circumstances are out there in your what is right now. So if you're facing a financial challenge, that's certainly possible with the whole Taurus and Uranus and full moon stuff, and worried. If you're over worried about the digital currency, dynamic versus the cash or gold or silver coins that you have or don't, that can be an issue that requires discipline. So Taurus gives us the ability to really focus on what is worthy. And let me tell you something, your peace of heart and the serenity in your mind involves your actual life force currency. Life is fleeting. Life is short. Here today, gone tomorrow. We're not guaranteed our next breath. Scorpio is all about how are you doing with the fact that you're at this biological point in your life, and what point are you prioritizing your soul? Because Scorpio is about our spirit connection. Scorpio is about how we communicate with the paranormal and the supernatural, and because Scorpio is all about they may have shed their physical bodies called death here on Earth, but they're still very much alive and more vibrant frequencies and attending to their soul priorities. We tend to focus on material world priorities when we're in body, food, location, safety, roof over our heads, something to drive, paying the rent, getting a different trailer, who loves me, who's attracted to me, did I get told I was pretty today, do I feel virile as a man? I mean, all these things are only of the earthly vibration, and all of them, sometimes they feel like spears that pierce us. Sometimes they feel like tears that just overwhelm us, but these aren't punishments by a malevolent God being. These are the triggers that we need at times in manifesting to be able to be our wake-up call. Now, I'm all for, and I can speak for Nicole on this one, when you're into life coaching and helping people heal, it has to start with you peeling the onion, and you've got to let go of those cumulative ways that might be a bit unhealthy that we've all done, that we recoil in when we're trying to cope. So this Scorpio full moon and this Mercury retrograde we're in until May 14th that roared up right after our solar eclipse new moon over April the 20th. And boom, we had Mercury turn retrograde. And this is asking us, not pushing us, not bullying us, but if you want to say, I'm so tired of this stress, what can I do? Listen, calm down, and process where you might have been blocking a healthier coping mechanism instead of what we all of us, including me, tend to do, that's automatic pilot that we built into our child self when we were starting to emerge, and the first time it burnt us, and the first time we fell, and the first time somebody bullied us, and the first time somebody made us go within ourselves and think, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not tall enough, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I don't like my nose, whatever. And we took that in as something's wrong with us. The Taurus-Scorpio axis or dynamic is about, so why not let that die? There are good deaths. There is such a thing as a good death. Why not open up and unpack myself? Why not look into my drawers and see where I'm too cluttered in my dresser and open up those drawers where I've got all those cluttered clothes and my junk drawers and all? Why don't I open that up and dump every one of those drawers? Just dump them all, unpack the suitcase, throw it on the floor, the psychological suitcase. So before I pick it up and pack it yet again, I have to take the time and the discipline to look at it and see and say to myself with the Taurus, at what cost?
Yeah.
At what price?
And
do you know your worth? Let it go. That's the ushering in of the eclipse, giving us that moment, Nicole, where the moon either blocks the path of the earth and the sun at the solar eclipse, or vice versa, it's a lunar eclipse. But these are eclipses, are celestial exclamation points that say something's got to give. Stop beating yourself up.
Yes. And as you said that, a rolling thunder boom just rolled out in the skies here, which I think is so apropos for this particular podcast that we're recording today. You know, this particular full moon, as you said, Scorpio is the most intense sign of the zodiac. Full moons are very intense. The ruler, Pluto, is squaring the nodes and also squaring this moon and sun is Black Moon Lilith in Leo. And if you want to increase the intensity just a little bit more, that's also adding to the mix. This is, like you said, an exclamation point, a celestial exclamation point where we have these fated events with the South Node in Scorpio, which represents these karmic releases, letting go, removing things that are no longer serving us. And when you talk about that detoxifying energy that Scorpio brings, especially on a full moon, we have these very karmic and fated potentials that we're being faced with at this time. This is not a moon for the fair-hearted or the faint-hearted, I should say.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to face your stuff this moon. Like, you got to face it. Like, and it's going to be illuminated for you to see. So go into, Mary, the level of intensity and what it's bringing up, especially with it, one, being in Scorpio, but also having its modern ruler, Pluto, squaring the nodes.
Well, when you look at the fact that, let's add first the Taurus energy of the solar. Remember, the sun is the great star in our Milky Way, in our galactic home that we have. And for those of you that really get overwhelmed by astrology, and there's so many astrologers out there in the techno lands, and we all tend to find that one's fun or that one's easy. And then, but astrology and the just the detail of all that you have to learn with it can be overwhelming, and let's face it, can be intense and boring in and of itself. So let's look. I try to keep it simple and bring heaven to earth in the wordsmithing of it all. So right now, the sun is in the sign, the first earth element sign in the 12 Western zodiac signs. So the sun is lighting up, the great star is lighting up all that is majestic about the sign of Taurus, the fixed earth. So it is Mother Earth, and she's springing forth in the northern hemisphere. In the southern hemisphere, she's beginning to show the fire colors through her leaves down under, and she's beginning to prepare people. Look at this blast of autumn over here in the southern hemisphere, because I'm about to go into hibernation when they hit their winter time. But for us in the northern hemisphere, mainly those of you listening here, it has a lot to do with new life emergence. So when we look at the word emergency, I like to flip it around as a mystic, and I say it's time for us to emerge -SEE.
So that is a perfect word, Mary, to be using with Pluto, Scorpio, and
because think about the whole mythological dance of Mother Nature, Demeter, and her daughter Persephone in Greek myth. So Pluto, Hades in Greek mythology, Pluto or Hades, the lord of the underworld, was so smitten and selfish and controlling and a bit Machiavellian, snatched Mother Nature, Demeter in Greek mythology, snatched her daughter Persephone and drug her into the other world. And so Demeter threw a fit, you know, and it was just like, you know, she could not go into the underworld with Pluto Hades and rescue her daughter. And so there was ravaging on the upper world of the weather, and she stopped spring, and no, there was no fun, you know, Midsummer Night's Eve and all that. And so a deal had to be struck by the fates. The other Greek gods got involved and said to Hades, she goes up to see her mother for half of the year. We're breaking that hold that you have on. We're breaking holds, Taurus, Scorpio. So Persephone was in, the deal was struck. Persephone was allowed to, because she was captured and kidnapped. Let's just say it. She was trafficked. So she comes above board again, and she's with her mother, Mother Nature. And so there's spring and there's summer, and then at the end of autumn and the winter time, she has to go back into the underworld with Pluto. So Pluto could almost be described as that which scares us, that which can haunt us, both literally and psychologically. Pluto is that fine line in the sand where the lure, the temptation comes, and the dark forces are saying, so, forget all this spiritual work. Why do you have to do all those ceremonies and meditations and prayers? And yeah, I like the hallucinogenic thing. I like that. And yeah, I like it that prescription you keep increasing brings you into a whole nother world where we can talk. Or maybe, go ahead and take that other drink and watch that porn a little bit longer. And yeah, lie. Go ahead and lie. And you know, you deserve that and you need that more than they do. So just go snatch it. Just go betray them. Just go, you know, be a false face. So the negative side of Scorpio and Pluto is nasty, nasty, and it's dark, and it's premeditated, and it somehow comes to steal like a thief in the night, or to murder a hope. And so what happens when a hope gets slaughtered with Pluto and the out-of-the-box thinking of Aquarius and the nodes, which the North Node is the work to be done this lifetime. It's what we call in Hindu our dharma, or the soul's work. Karma, that you often hear about, is the bounce back of cause and effect. If I do something really crappy, it may look to a whole host of people, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he got away with that. I can't believe she said that. I can't believe they would even find it in themselves to do that. But people do, and they get hooked by greed and need and insecurity and narcissism and sociopathy. And some people are just toxic, and maybe they were fractured. Maybe they were so broken when they were in other lifetimes or this one that they just want to pay everybody back and stab first before they get stabbed or leashed again. I get it, but it's up to us. And this is one of those cycles with Pluto involved and Mars and Cancer enhancing our intuition and the nodes in Taurus, Scorpio. They're getting ready to shift back into Aries, Libra. It's going to be all about me, myself, and I, Aries, and my ability to relate and to mediate and to be able to allow my vulnerability that makes me freeze frame and not want to get involved in deeper intimacy scenarios. The Libra's saying, come on, the only way to build courage is to take an action. You got to take a step forward in order to find out. You can't just, if you keep recoiling, you'll find the company of your bed and depression only. I mean, so the whole thing when Rumi and Gibran and these different inspirational writers of old, you know, and all the indigenous DNA that we come from, when we were back into, before all the high tech, when we were at core with our generational ancestors, at core, Aquarius, Scorpio, at the core of our indigenous DNA lineage, we relied on and watched and dove into Mother Earth. There wasn't the cell phone. There wasn't the laptop. There wasn't the TV. You know, and TV was originally invented to be a spirit box. It's all about Scorpio. So you can spell another word, tell, tell-a-lie-vision. So when people bitch about, I watch this news channel, or I watch this, or well, I'm on Twitter because Twitter gets the news first, then Instagram, and then I'm tired of Facebook, and I'm going over to Rumble. When you do all these things, as a mystic, when you go into shamanistic study of peeling back the layers of your soul's majesty, because the highest octave of Scorpio is that you came in with every discernment gift already. You came in with every intuitive, psychic, clairvoyant, sensory, higher senses. You were gifted that as you came here. You were gifted that. We walk on our Mother Earth to come to know and appreciate physicality, pleasure, touch, the impacts of pain. So if we can kind of step back a bit, like the Buddha or the shaman or the Aquarian sign, get step back from all the emotional arrows and impacts and say, as I just bear witness to what that action, what that thought, what that visual just rose up deep inside my spirit, like, oh, I don't want to watch that murder show. No, I cannot watch that animal killing that other animal, but I can go put my eyes in a very powerful spiritual scriptural text. I can go be inspired by Rumi. I can go out, close my eyes, feel the breeze or the storm outside and look at it and say, as you thunder, as you lightning, thank you for my holy divine protections. And I allow the enlightenment bolt to take away my pain, to eradicate in God's own perfect ways and nothing but light and peace and harmony, that which has been trying to, here's another minus side of Scorpio, haunt me into receding and submission. And I get bullied because I don't feel deep inside myself that I'm good enough. And I go get put on bigger boobs, or I get more injections, or I run away and I hide in the booze, and I hide, you know, in just shopping, or I hide in eating, or whatever I do to somehow self-soothe. Taurus is about, why don't you find the coping skill sets that let you be okay with some healthier, holistic ways of self-soothing? There's nothing wrong with you cooking your own from scratch macaroni and cheese, if that's one of your comfort foods. But you don't make it holistic unless you don't use Velveeta, because it's fake, and you add all these fake oils and everything. But if you get real pasta and a little butter and some high quality olive oil, and you cook the pasta and you put fresh grated Parmesan cheese on it, and you get a good, even if you want to use a jar sauce, go get good, healthy ingredients. The less ingredients, the better, usually. Like, I only buy potato chips that say potatoes, sea salt, sunflower oil. Mm-hmm. Any other brand with anything else, I don't eat. So I just gave up potato chips if I can't find that. So you see the discipline that it takes, even in non-threatening ways that we can build up our discipline. Like, if I go to the store and I make that decision about the innocuous example of the potato chips, but it's still helping me take a minor thing that is a pleasure and a desire. And I like potato chips. I like the salt. But if it's not healthy, I go, not doing it. I'm boycotting it. And I'm not going to what? Spend the money, Taurus, because I don't feel like it's worth it to have those chemicals give me a false taste of pleasure, and yet it's actually doing harm to my body.
Yes.
Now, am I going to get obsessive about that? No. Where's the discipline? I was in the mood for potato chips, and it wasn't meant to be, because the one I wanted wasn't there. Supply chain, whatever. It wasn't at the store.
Oh my God.
I'm not going
to. That literally just happened to me 3 days ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I was like, bad move on my part. I went to the grocery store hungry. And I had made this thing. I'm like, Nicole, like, you're going to eat really healthy and all this stuff. And then I went in there and I got this, you know, like, that darker side of me was like, no, go for these particular brand of chips, which there's a very specific one. Like, as a kid, I loved corn chips, you know, like the Fritos.
Yes.
Corn chips.
They used
but
to be
now,
healthier.
Yeah. Well, I have, now there's like this brand that I found that's a little bit healthier. And I just had this craving for them. Of course, I was starving though. Like, I just never go to the grocery store when you're hungry and you're trying to, you know, eat healthy. So I went into the aisle and I'm looking, and they're nowhere to be found. They're completely sold out. And I'm like, okay, I know this is like, it's meant to be. This is how it's supposed to be. Nicole, where's your discipline? And I thankfully walked out of there with not the thing that I didn't want to really bring home.
You talk
about discipline, and I love that because I think it's so important. And I wish people understood how important this is. I mean, we're talking about karmic events, fated events, your destiny, where you're trying to move towards. When we talk about the North Node, you know, this is where you need to challenge yourself. You have to go outside your comfort zone. You have to do the things you're not used to doing, you know, in order to become the person that you need to be to live the future that you haven't yet lived. And when you talk about this idea of relating discipline to the word disciple, I love that because I think that's important. I think a lot of people can grasp the importance of connecting those two words, that you need to follow a plan. You need to follow a routine, a structure, a dedication, a sense of devotion to whatever it is that you want to create in this world. And if it's about you wanting something that you've never had, then guess what? You have to become someone you've never been. And I think people fail to realize that, or really fail to allow that to really sink in and permeate you right down to your essence of your soul, to understand that there are things that we have to stop doing. And a Scorpio full moon is perfect for looking at the behaviors and the toxic traits and our fears that sabotage our future visions.
Well, to go back to your words, so you're in the store, and when I was a little child, here's the inner child. When I was a little child, one of my self self-chosen comforts was the corn chips. I loved those corn chips. So your inner child walked into the store saying, I'm an adult and I'm physically hungry, but today I seem to be in touch with my inner child, Taurus, Mars, and Cancer. That's the umbilical cord, babies. That's the umbilical cord. Cancer is all about the inner child and what we got or didn't got in the way way of our mother, or especially nurturing us. And it's the full moon, and it's the new moon, it's the crescent moon, and it's the last quarter moon. The Cancer is also known as moon child. So we have the old ruler of Scorpio and the always ruler of Aries traveling in the water sign of Cancer, the crab. It's internal work right now. We're on the inside of the womb. We're the little baby. We're the inner child. And we're saying, ow, that hurts. I got hurt at school today. Oh, did you fall down or anything? No. Susie said something hateful to me, or the boy I liked, you know, he hit me and went off with my other friends and said, don't come. So the inner child has to find a way, because the little kid's going, or crying or screaming. So the inner child seeks to find, you know, as we're developing and going into psychological maturation, we seek ways in this crazy outer world, because our spirit knows the answer. Our intuition has all the tools that we need. But we tend to start reversing the process as disciples, and we tend to start looking for an external soothe, because we feel like, well, I can't trust the inside of me right now because I'm pissy, or I'm hurt, or I'm crying, or I'm sad. And so I don't think there's any answers in there. Yes, there is. Oh, yes, there is. The thing to do is to say, you know, my cat died today, or my friend, you know, moved away today, or I don't get to go to the school I was used to. All that stuff that went on in our inner childhood, besides just the obvious parameters of like, God, that was awful, or, oh, I used to be so scared, and thank God I'm an adult now. But those little daily things that went on. So you'd come home and you didn't always tell your parents, and you didn't always talk about it to your best friend and your siblings. And so what happens is you're contending with that inner war inside yourself. And what we tend to do is we don't see a lot of people around us sometimes talking about it or teaching about it. Certainly school doesn't. And so we figured that we just have to go watch our movie or SpongeBob or whatever we need to do externally. We keep looking out externally, or the Twinkie or the glass of wine or the 420 or whatever it is. And none of that in and of itself is a problem. But if it becomes your talisman or your addiction or your token, when you start making it that habit, instead of just laughing at it, go, oh, that is so funny. I wanted corn chips, and my inner child let me know it was so evident today. So I'm going to register that as my inner child was walking side by side with me today. My adult self just knew I was hungry, but my inner child was like, I want corn chips. I want corn chips. So how nice it is that I have an inner child pleasure moment, not an inner child trauma moment. I think we gloss over that too fast. I think when we manifest something, or you know, that person does that we didn't expect, tell us how beautiful we are, or I'm so glad to have you in my life. You're so real. You're so authentic. We haven't met yet, but oh my God, your words helped me out of such a dark shadow of a time. And how many times have we heard that? And so we don't always maybe get the opportunity to be eye to eye, face to face, but I'm here to tell you, the Pluto and Aquarius stuff going AI and chatbox GT, I don't give a shit type of stuff. If you get more into something that is a way, everything seems to want to be chasing and vampiring the beauty of our soul, you know, our soul. And our soul isn't connected to an internet or the technical. That's not what our soul is. Our soul is, we're humans. And it seems like vampires and elitists and governments and you know, they want to scare the soul with their money fear and they're this or they're that. But our soul, we look at another person and we're like, I like Nicole. It just feels right to me. So I don't want online relationships, and I don't want, you know, AI or this or that to write a script for me. I'm boycotting all of that, not because I'm old-fashioned, but because I know the power of sitting in that ceremonial circle. I know the power of a face-to-face kiss. I know the titillation of fingers with frequencies and tongues and the stroking of your hair and your neck and sleeping beside someone or that animal of yours or whatever it is, tactile. I know the pleasure of when the electromagnetic frequencies are actually blending in harmony. And the body of that is Taurus. and the mystery and the electricity of that and the vibrational healing of that kind of spiritual orgasm is Scorpio. And all of that is going on right now with Uranus in Taurus and Mercury retrograde in Taurus until May 14th, 15th, saying, look back and release yourself from any prisons of thought or get just open. Here's a key. Eclipses can be keys too. Here's the key that unlocks you from the past disappointment sexually. Here's the key that unlocks you from when you didn't like your body. Well, I'll like my body when I lose weight, or I'll like my body better if I go to the gym 5 days a week, or, oh my God, I sprained my ankle and I can't go jogging, so now I'm not going to like my body. Who told you that? I mean, start accepting within yourself as a disciple that you're okay, guys, you're okay, gals, whether you go to the gym and work out or not, because if you just work on manifesting your kindness and your authenticity and the integrity of being a real friend, being a friend enough to say, I really want to be there for you and support you, but I've got to take a day for myself right now.
Yeah. And, you know, hey, total sidebar, you know, Mary and I can't come on here and not talk about food.
That's right.
Because
well, you and I are savvy enough.
Yeah, it's always going to come up. But
I know, but you know, whether they talk about it or not, Nicole, they're snacking. You guys are snacking right now.
But also, we're talking about Scorpio, full moon, deep emotions,
primal,
Pluto, black moon, Lilith. Like, all of these are really asking you to listen. It's going to be intensely felt, this full moon eclipse. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And of course, it's going to vary in intensity across the board for everyone, but don't run away from your feelings. And in fact, as Mary was just saying, that their eclipses bring you keys and answers.
Yes.
You can decode what is being brought to the surface here through the moon, through your own emotions. Allow your emotions to be deeply felt and to decode what it is that you need to pay attention to right now.
Well, it's given us the digital unlock too. You know, like I always like to envision psychically those really great bronze or gold antique keys. Like when you see oracle cards, they tend to paint them in a pretty little, it's a skeleton key, which is Scorpio skeleton, you know. And it's interesting, Halloween and the Day of the Dead fall in the Scorpio season, you know. So this is about, now I'm going to tell you guys that this also can be the type of dream experience. That with Mars and Cancer dreams, that's intensifying our dreams and our meditations, so much so that people may feel like they're being somewhat pestered or haunted in their dreams because they're resisting that loved one in spirit or that angel guide, or they're not even, I've had a lot of people say, I don't want to meditate right now. I don't want to meditate right now. I'm too pissy. I'm too tired. I'm too sad. I'm too whatever. I'm too busy. I don't want to meditate right now. So I want to tell you that when it comes to Mars and Cancer, you can literally put on your favorite meditation CD, YouTube, whatever it is, and go to sleep, because your subconscious is recording it. And if you turn it at the right amount of volume, you'll take in every lesson, every nuance, every frequency that can help you heal as you literally sleep and restore your physical body. And when you actually are busy sleeping and restoring your physical body, your unconscious and your superconscious are like engaged in taking the best of, and so when the subconscious is being recorded, and so it's recording new aspects instead of just going into the vault of what's already been recorded into there. And then on May 1st, over May 1st and 2nd, we had this what we call Mercury Kazemi, C as in cat, A, Z as in zebra, I-M-I, Kazemi, comes from the Arabic astrologers, and it means when a planet goes in front of the sun, or as they say, crosses the face of the sun, or kisses the face of the sun, is the way the Persian astrologers describe it. When a planet is Kazemi, it's when it's actually in front of the great star of this galaxy, the big guy, the king of the universe. So the great star of the sun, because it is a star, in case you didn't know. And so here comes Mercury, the messenger, at the court of the sun over May 1st, May 2nd. Yeah, it blooms out April 30th. It blooms out into this full moon because it's all so close. And it does that in Taurus. So that means in astrological, astronomical terms, the Kazemi means that the sun and Mercury occupy the same mathematical position, like they're meeting up at what we call a conjunction or exact degree in that Earth element of Taurus. And then on right before this full moon, May 4th, we had Venus in Gemini. Now, that's about meeting up and talking and texting and chatting and selfies and all that. And she was in a very favorable degree, 60 degrees to Jupiter, the king, Zeus, in astrology, as this full moon begins to intensely wax on the 4th, 5th, 6th. There's 3 days prior to a full moon. The 3 days of the full moon's light increase, exact decrease, and then 3 days afterwards that we're really kind of feeling that full moon phase. When it's an eclipse, it's times 10. So that's why traditional astrologers will tell you that, like now, May 5th, when the eclipse is exact in the Northern Hemisphere, it blooms out for the next 90 days. So you figure, okay, May 5th to June 5th is 1 month. 90 days is 3 months. June 5th to July 5th is 2 months. And then July 5th into August 5th is when this eclipse, primarily the seeds have broken casing, the new plant, tree, fruit, herb, whatever is emerging. And maybe we're actually enjoying the seed or the fruit or the bloom or taking care of it and seeing the results of our labor.
Ooh, just
here.
During the Lionsgate portal too.
Exactly. So see what happens is if there's going to be a full moon eclipse in Scorpio, the water, the fixed water, its 90-day period is going to be in the next sign that squares it, which is Leo.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having the Scorpio Phoenix, the Scorpio Bennu, or the Scorpio Earthbird, the peacock, that which is also known as the bird with 1,000 eyes, because the peacock's tail has all those eyes on them, and peacock feathers are very coveted, even the albino white peacock. So our totems for this particular eclipse, you know, you think about what's revered in India, what's revered to the Buddhists, you know, the cow is sacred. They don't kill cows. We're in Taurus the bull. And just recently there was that story where over 18,000 dairy cows, you know, perished, you know, we're hearing a lot about money and cows and people trying to do a woke cancel culture on people that want to eat beef, and you shouldn't eat beef, you should eat crickets. You know, and it's bullshit about methane gas coming out of cows' behinds. For God's sakes, look at our ancestors with buffaloes and camels and elk and deer. I mean, you know, the planet would have exploded a long time ago if these people were right. So, like, Mother Nature knows how to deal with it more than you cancel culture woke asses. Mother Nature knows what to do with planet Earth, and the Heavenly Father and the Great I Am knows how to bring those heaven to earth frequencies for those that will so align themselves. And so Scorpio and Taurus are saying, you're a body, you're a soul in a temple, in an earth body right now. Why don't you just take 30 days, starting with this eclipse we had on, you know, the April 20th, 21st, while Mercury is retrograde in line with Uranus in Taurus, saying, got to shatter the mold, folks. You got to keep the best of your past. Take the best things you learned as a child. You don't have to give it all up. You don't have to reject everything that made you who you are now. Every pain, every laughter, every great bowel movement, every great kiss, every great vacation, every hurt of the person that turned out to be a false face helped you be who you are now. So you, the king and queen of your universe, get to decide, what are the bitter parts of me? That's draining my emotional, psychological, sacred soul bank account. That's a debit. And I'm the bank. I'm the Taurus. I'm the bank. I'm the body self. And the Scorpio in me is saying, hey, it's time for an audit. And so I'm telling you is everything's in line. So I, Scorpio, am giving you permission to negate, to throw away, to shred, to shed, to let go. Why don't you just be really logical about this whole mystical thing and start unlocking and undoing the crap that's making you unhappy? Hello? So the Scorpio is saying, stop your ass whining, and you don't like yourself when you're like that. So why don't you don't wait on anybody else to tell you how to do it? They may be teachers that can enhance and cheerlead and motivate you. But ultimately, is it not you that makes the decision that says, I'm not going to let anybody treat me like that anymore. And I'm not going to treat anybody. I'm not going to get in a relationship where it makes me get to that point where I want to yell at them or bully them, or I'm so insecure that I feel like I've got to be in control or be overly possessive to them. Just stop and ask yourself, at what cost, at what price to my peace of mind and the majesty of my soul, why am I allowing this to go on? Forget out there. Come into yourself as a Scorpio surgeon, a soul psychic surgeon, and say, I'm going to stitch that wound, and I'm not going to keep doing the things that cut me open again in a negative way.
I love how you talked about our majestic soul experiences. You somehow just slid in there your greatest bowel movement.
Well, Scorpio does rule. Scorpio does rule. When you know this, in medical astrology, Taurus is, you know, the larynx. You know, people think their voice comes out of their mouth. It does not. It generates at the throat chakra, at the larynx. And so our heart, Leo, the heart center, our heart is our drumbeat of our physical temple, but the throat, the larynx, the thyroid, these are Taurus areas, the throat chakra. And I always say when something's emphasizing the throat chakra, find your voice, say who you are, say what you want, speak your mind, be true to your word. Those are Taurian things. Mm-hmm, and so Scorpio rules that whole sacral, for a woman, she is the gates of the temple. I mean, as a woman opens, her sensual centers down there, her sexual center, she is literally the urn, the vessel where life can be seeded into her. Her body becomes the tree. You know, the baby roots in her if that's what she chooses to do. So listen, I'm definitely more of a traditional mystic when I say to people, how people exchanging energy affects you. Be careful who you let touch you. I mean, understand that you're going into uncharted territory. And at the very least, as a disciple, if you copulate with someone, if you have just sports sex, or or there's a family member that they always seem to be nice, but you don't feel right when they hug you or touch you, you want to pull away. Don't ignore those intuitive things because we're not judging them or shaming them or judging ourselves or blaming ourselves, but be very aware of who you feel drawn to physically, all those chakras in your palms of your hands and the pineal gland and all the auric frequency that you have. Some of you have auras that extend out 10 and 12 feet. Others keep their aura close into them, like, you know, an orbit of 2 to 3 feet. But we all have that cosmic egg shape around us that is constantly vibrating colors and frequencies and all that. So it's very much like the way fog moves, or the way the mist rolls in on the ocean, but it tends to be in an oval shape around us to be our psychic and spiritual protection. So there are days where it's easier to penetrate into our cocoon of consciousness. And so, like, for example, easier days, May 10th, when the Sun and Uranus and Taurus dance together, they're conjunct and they're happy. And May 12th, when Venus, in the very communicative, lighthearted, don't get serious with me, I want to play and dance and have a good time and sing and stomp, when Venus in Gemini is going to trine, that's a 120 degree aspect in sacred geometry with the great taskmaster Saturn. So Saturn, you know, the CEO of the company or the police officer says, okay, I'm not going to give you a ticket today. You don't have to get a ticket today. So when we get a pass or we get favor supernaturally and here on our earth walk, can be very easily over May 10th, 12th, and 14th, because then on the 14th of May, there's some good stuff coming. There's some good skill sets coming. Mars in Cancer, there's the water element. There's our feelings and our emotions and the psychological disciplines of ourselves. Mars in Cancer, ruled by the moon, is going to cozy up to Neptune, Poseidon, Lord of the Seas. And we can spell that S-E-A. And we have our high tides and our low tides of emotions, oceans of emotions, or we can spell it S-E-E. So me, I see that time of May 10th into May 14th, 15th. Mercury turns direct then as well by the 14th, 15th in most time zones. This is where we get the reward, the visions, the epiphanies, the, oh, I never looked at it like that way again, that way before. Thank you, man. And you snap your fingers and there's a quickening. And you're free of that long-held haunt or that. And for some people, it'll be a piece of information that the family kept secret all those decades, all those generations. And all of a sudden, something like that comes through. And Jupiter's further enhancing that when it goes into Taurus. So we've got this boots on the ground. You got to do the work. And I'm going to address one more little thing that I see a lot of people doing in the spiritual community. Have I done it myself before? Yes, before you ask, I have. Yes. The inner child part of us that doesn't want to do the work. Honey, take out the trash. We're going to go to the movies. No, I don't want to take out the trash. Well, how's this working for you? I'm not going to enable you, little ass. I'm not driving the car to the movies and spending money unless you do your chores. I don't want to eat the scrambled eggs. I don't want to do it. I don't give a damn if you want to do it or not. Here's the consequences of that. And when you don't give consequences, when you keep letting the dog poop on the carpet and you don't do you don't have to beat them or whip them, but you have to get the vinegar out, or you have to say, no, no, no. And you have to realize maybe you were on your phone too long and the dog couldn't hold it anymore. And you didn't see that the dog or the cat needed to go out.
Hmm.
So we have to find that wonderful other Venus sign, the Taurus Libra, you know, the whole Venusian energy right now. Venus is in a happy place, but she doesn't want to get real serious right now. Taurus and Scorpio, when they feel insecure, they either shut down or they start to remind you didn't get a hold of me enough. Where were you today? Why didn't you communicate with me? What's going on? Where are we at with each other? I mean, they start doing this control drama, or they'll get passive aggressive. No, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. It's like, I just go back to, look, it's the bottom line for you. I have found my voice and I speak my mind. Take the damn trash out, or I'm not even picking up the keys to take you to the movies, because this was going to be a treat all about you. And so I chose to do that for you with my life force energy. How about that? And if you don't text me or get a hold of me and let me know what time we're meeting up, you don't get me. I'm not going, unless there was some kind of emergency or something. Oh my God, are you okay? Is everything okay? But they don't have an emergency every time they do that crap, do they? No. So we have to set boundaries. Nicole, myself, all of you out there listening live, listening to the replay, be reminded. We teach people how they get to treat us by what we allow.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me pause you there for a second, because that's perfect. Because one of the things I really want to drive home for everyone for this full moon, because remember, you know, Scorpio is about secrets. What do we keep hidden? What lies deep, deep within that needs to come up to the surface? And a full moon is always about illuminating things. And this square to Black Moon Lilith in Leo is really forcing this uncovering of false masks. And if you have been trying to hide something within yourself, or someone around you has been doing that, this is the moon that's going to bring all of that to the light. And that can cause a lot of emotions. And the thing about when Black Moon Lilith is squared the moon, especially when it's in Scorpio, oh my goodness, you know, you're going to have some challenges here. You are going to need to overcome erratic emotions, and you're going to have to work on destructive behaviors, very Scorpio energy as well. You know, like, what do we destroy? You know, Pluto, destroyer, is what do we destroy in our relationships? What do we destroy in our goals, our future visions? You know, what is it that we sabotage? All of that's going to be brought up to the surface for you to review. Now, there are always opportunities as well. And those opportunities are about you finally letting go of emotional burdens. You know, pulling back, like as Mary's been talking about, pulling back the layers and really looking under the hood and like what's there and actually confronting it. And allowing yourself to finally achieve some emotional liberation that doesn't allow you to keep getting triggered and moving into these self-sabotaging patterns, or perhaps you are around people who continuously sabotage your relationship with them. And like Mary just said, maybe it's time to start executing some boundaries and not letting people treat you the way you're being treated. So all of these things are really coming up, and there are going to be people who are going to show themselves for who they really are, but you're also going to see things within yourself that you maybe have not wanted to see. And all the masks are coming off during this full moon.
Well, and Lilith in Leo, I kind of like Lilith in Leo, because Leo is all about courage. And when she starts bouncing up, you know, it's for those of you that don't know, Lilith is kind of like the dark side of Eve and the Adam and Eve story. There's all kind of postulating theories about that. But Lilith has to do with the scorned woman. Mm-hmm. Lilith has to do with, she's a seductress. And Lilith, as one of those theories goes, didn't want to have kids. Like, she's all about being the full-bodied woman and pleasure and for herself and others, but she did not want to bear children. So they often say that Lilith magically is associated with detesting children or vanity or not being a nurturing woman. And that's not always the case. Lilith just had the Middle Eastern, if you will, older beliefs, cultures, ideologies that said, I don't care if you want to suppress women for the rest of your life. I'm not going to do that. And I'm willing to die for it, but because you guys like harems, and over there they call it harem, because all you guys, you know, are pretty much into seducing women and having women do their bidding, and, you know, the prettiest woman and the youngest woman and the most experienced woman that can hook you and lure you both psychologically and physically. We all age. You're not going to hold on to somebody just because of what you do to your body and your physicality. And that's not going to be your guarantee whether you're biologically male or female. What happens is it's the energy connection that's the true sensual seduction between two people that decide to walk hand in hand over life's travails, life's low tides and high tides. It's like, you're cool. I like hanging out with you. And you don't even notice that they got older or they lost weight or they gained weight, you know, unless it's extreme, because you just like them. You're compatible with them. And you look at them more when it's like, oh, your hair looks really good today. But you're not looking at them like their hair doesn't look good today, because you're just into them. You're just compatible. It's a natural flow of compatibility. And it's never, ever going to be lasting if it's just about something you can buy to put on or take off, or the rich guy gets a 15-year-old girl because he's incredibly wealthy. It's gone on in power plays for eons. So Lilith is about, I'm that woman that will stand up and not be submissive all the time. So that threatens some women and it threatens some men, that persona, that energy of like, no, hell no, I'm a goddess. Now, if she chooses that her pain and her scars and the rejection of her to be able to be who she is and how she is, you know, claps back at her, then she may retreat and she may become surly. And like the Greek, back to Greek and Roman myth again, there were these birds that were called the harpies. And they had the boobs of a woman and they had these, the body, main body was down in the reproductive regions. They were birds. It was like, it's like in a centaur, you have half man, half horse. With the Greek harpies, it was a woman's face, a woman's shoulders, a woman's breast, and then at her navel, instead of becoming a horse like the centaurs, she became the bird. And the harpies were like birds that rah, 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 rah. They weren't going to put up with it, and they stayed high above everybody else, so you couldn't get them, you couldn't have your way with them anymore. They were these unusually beautiful creatures, you know, like one of these paranormal creatures. And it's just like, no, you don't get me anymore, because now I can fly away from you. So it's an air sign kind of creature. So while Lilith is in Cancer, Lilith is in Leo. She left Cancer. So for the last couple of years, we had to look at staying home, being locked down. How do we nurture ourselves? What was going on with the families? There were a whole heck of a lot of divorces and births that went on since 2.5 years ago when we had to stay home and face ourselves. And we had to make some really hard decisions. Are they going to reject me for that? Am I going to get judged for that? There was a lot of shame, blame that was going along. And then in the background, there were other people that were being deliberately deceptive one way or the other. And again, what were they looking for? Some kind of fear porn to get power over us from the external. And, you know, people say, well, I have to do this or I have to do that. And there were people that I'm talking to people now 3 years away from the lockdown of 2020. They're so happy that, although scary at the time, they lost that job because they wouldn't comply to this or that, or they lost a bunch of friends, or the family wouldn't talk to them because of this or that decision. And you know what? 2020 and all of its fear porn and clapback and rejections and dominations and trying to scare us into submission, whichever way you wanted to go, you know, the rejection factor was there. I think it showed a lot of us who our real tribe is. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing is it showed us who would love us whatever we did, however we decided it. So, and who would support us. And it was a real, you know, instead of being cray cray, it was the real. So mm-hmm. What's happening now in 2023, because Lilith slapped into the great lion, Leo, the lion of courage, and the lion is ruled by the great star of the sun. So, and Mars is going to retrograde in the sign of the lion this summer. So we're coming into our last big eclipse in America.
You mean Venus retrograde?
I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. We're going to have a retrograde. I should say it this way. We're going to have a retrograde of Leo that comes up in the summer months. So here we have again feminine. Here we have, thank you, Nicole. Here we have the Leo energy coming up, and part of what's happening with that, and we'll have Mars going in to the sign of Leo. We have Mars going into the sign of Leo as we come toward, you know, the 21st of May. That's what I was thinking of. So here we have this Leo energy coming in with the Taurus energy and the Platonic energy of Aquarius. And it's saying to us, we're talking about fixed signs. So the four signs most affected by these eclipses right now, and here's a hint, if you don't want to get too technical with astrology, if you've bothered to study your birth chart and you've learned at least which signs you have on the 12 houses that looks like a pizza pie and there's 12 slices, if you've at least learned the order of the signs from your ascendant rising sign in order going around after that on your 12 houses instead of pizza slices, they're houses, the areas that are impacted for the next 7 months are Taurus, Scorpio, and Leo, Aquarius. Now, I know that the eclipse and the solar eclipse was at 29 Aries back on April 20th, but the sun immediately went into Taurus after that. So we've got this, the Antarctic degree, the Antarctic degree, the 29th degree of something to me is the final, like, boom. It's like that when you're at a fireworks show and you look at that final display of the fireworks, you know, the final, like, da 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 da, that's 29 degrees of any sign. So it hit 29 degrees, which technically is just like 0 degrees of Taurus. So the Taurus energy, we're in Taurus. You know, we've got Uranus in Taurus. We've got the North Node in Taurus getting ready to shift from Taurus into Aries. So we're shifting from just being so owned by the external material world of Taurus and going into our psyche and becoming magicians and becoming seers. That's S-E-E-R. And we're going to be transcending. Here's another word play. Transcending, the word transcending something is T-R-A-N-C-E dash ending. We're ending the trance. You end being caught up in an unconscious inner childhood psychological trance or automatic pilot behavior when you transcend above that pain or you transcend above that pattern or that toxic habit. When you say, I've done it that way for 40 years. I'm not going to do that for the next 30 or 40 years. I did it that way for a long time. Now it's time for me to try a new way. So we get hope, and then we have to cope, and then we have to perpetrate those skills from our former childhood patterns the reason childhood patterns are so strong is because we were getting hit by stuff for the first time, and we had to learn how to micromanage through that. So we tend to recoil when something suddenly hurts us into those preset strategies of coping to escape pain. That's the dynamic of it. But sometimes we want to escape. Sometimes we enable so we don't have to face or confront it. Sometimes we just want to go to sleep. And why do we want to go to sleep and crawl up in our bed? So we can hopefully go into a different world other than the one that's currently hurting us. So it's hypnosis. It's, you know, and I love self-hypnosis and meditation. And again, why do you think I suggested that you put on a YouTube meditation or one of your favorite meditations as you lay down to take a nap, whether it's on the couch, in a chair, or on your bed, because you're going into a deeper state of hypnosis, which ultimately allows it to penetrate faster, further. And I believe sleep learning, sleep hypnosis, going and taking a little 15-minute nap and playing a 20-minute YouTube meditation or allowing someone to do an audio meditation for you. It could be 10 minutes. It could be 15 minutes. Just take a power nap and do it. Or put it on, you know, to where it goes off automatically when it's over with and you fall asleep. Click that thing on your phone to where the other YouTubes won't keep playing. You know, it's just you do that one and you go to sleep and eventually you'll wake up to go evacuate the bladder. That's Scorpio too, evacuating the things that need to eliminate from our body. So Scorpio's function is it's time to go to the bathroom, whether it's number one or number two. We got to get that out of us. Because it needs to come out of the body. It needs to come out of the earth temple of Taurus. So Taurus is taking it down the throat and consuming it. Cancer is the digestive, the Cancer Virgo signs, the Cancer Leo Virgo signs. Leo's the heart, the drum that beats. And so you take it in and you're assimilating it. And Virgo's deciding if it's going to be something that's eliminated from the body or it's something that's going to be absorbed by the body. And with Libra, you either tinkle it out, or with Scorpio, you either release it with the actual solid, the solid toxicity that you're releasing through the bowels. So you've used up those nutrients, and here comes what you don't need anymore. Here comes your fertilizer. So it's got a disciplined, dynamic, automatic kind of conveyor belt process, and we do the same thing psychologically with the crap from our past and the things that pissed us off. Catch the pun intended? Why am I putting up with this shit, and why am I pissed off all the time? Again, it goes back to those centers. It goes to Libra and Taurus and Scorpio. So if we can take more accountability, if we can go a little bit softer and easier on ourselves and say, oh, it is so funny how that makes me so mad all the time. What is that? Maybe I could look at that anger. Maybe I could look at that rejection as my teacher. And I say this to people all the time, Nicole, if you work on yourself, pretty much it's free. But Nicole and I are happy if you want to keep getting stuck. To pay us some money will help you navigate through it. That's why we're here. That's why we like to help people, because we can maybe help you get to that answer faster and give you an aha moment to where I do that. Really? Okay. Well, you going to change it? Otherwise, call me back next month, spend some more money. And we'll help you. We'll sincerely help you.
Yeah. And I think this is the full moon where the rubber hits the pavement, you know?
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. There is no hiding. Oh, no. The curtain is pulled back. Mm-hmm. There is no hiding zone. And maybe you'll continue to hide in June and July if you want to go back into those same patterns. Maybe it'll be like, oh, my God, that was such a startling part of 2023. Okay, I'm back into my habitual self yet. This is the opportunity. This is not a scary time. Will there be things that can pierce the veil and hurt you and expose things? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Arrow to the bullseye target. Yeah. Bullseye. Yeah. Bullseye Taurus. Bullseye. The I is the Scorpio spelled EYE. This is the time of what we need to look at, but I phonetically is also the capital I. Mm-hmm. So what our eyes need to look at about ourselves, me, myself, and I, we just emerged from Aries. The Aries eclipse, that's me, myself, and I, and the I am. Start here. What's the word you put after I am? That's the Aries slogan. Taurus is I have. Scorpio is I desire. So I am, I have, I desire. Work with those. You want less words? Work with those, because that's the core.
Let's jump into the signs, because I know everyone's waiting for their individual signs.
Okay, so first and foremost, absolutely heartfelt, hallowed blessings. All you Taurians out there for your solar return of 2023.
Can I say this full moon is happening hours before my birthday. I will say
happy birthday, honey. Happy birthday. And may this solar return, this solar new year, absolutely magnify all of the good and the giving and the generosity that you and all our Taurus brothers and sisters put out there. Your solar return, when the sun lights up the same mathematical degree, which is your birthday, when you actually incarnated on Earth this time, is a wonderful day to write down intentions, things that you want to release, things that you may shed a little tear that you're glad have moved out of your life and that you've moved away from. It's okay to have that memory lane, trails of tears, nostalgic moment and say, you know what? Hindsight is 2020. I can look back and see that if that hurt didn't happen, I might not be where I am right now. So thank you. Don't need to call.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. Can I just ask you a quick question? Because I'm curious, just because I'm putting it out there, but the Taurus eclipse that happened very close to the same degree, like it happened at, what was it? 16, 15 degrees, something like that in November 8th. Mm-hmm. We had that Taurus lunar eclipse.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, that one hit me hard. Is this one going to hit me hard, Mary? Is this one going to hit me hard?
Okay. Okay. It was a direct hit because it was in Taurus. This one's in Scorpio. So what happens is, here's the thing with eclipses, when they actually occur.
So I don't want to cry on my birthday.
You don't have to. No. You've already set the intention you won't. You've already cast the magic that you want, that it can only be bliss and wonder and majesty, and that you're going to wake up your birthday morning and you're going to have gratitude. It's like gratitude will be as you pull the sheet cover back, you're uncovering more gratitude. So what happens with eclipse series is that they open up a minimum of a 6-month window. So if we're in May, 6 months back from May took us back into that November period that Nicole's talking about. So if the sun back in November is in Scorpio, the sun, solar forces were in Scorpio, the full moon can only be in Taurus when it's a Scorpio-Taurus thing. So that was the reversal of what we're experiencing. Now the sun was in Scorpio and the moon was eclipsed in Taurus, but that was a direct hit for Taurus, as that was actually an easy time for me being a Scorpio. So now, 6 months later, the moon is now in Scorpio. So the inner light, the subconscious, the moon has to do with our inner desires, working on our fears, our psychological skills, our ability to manifest and uncover mysteries and unlock illuminations, because the moon lights the darkness, you know, the full moon. The outside's lit up more. And the sun now is in Taurus. It's exactly the reverse of what we had back in November of 2022. So this is, if we do our inside work, then the upper echelon of Scorpio frequencies on a Scorpio full moon is you can have some of the best sensual experiences you've ever had. You can have some of the most mystical revelatory dances with your divine angels, your angelic guides. I mean, you know, you're looking at the tarot cards of this eclipse. Scorpio is death, transition, phoenix, resurrection, and Taurus has a lot to do with tradition, you know, your indigenous culture, you know, the line of ancestors that you come from, and how are you taking care of or abusing your physical body. So for Taurus, I would be making sure that my physical body is being honored and rewarded. Like, love your physical temple. Don't criticize your physical body at all on your Taurian birthday. And it's okay to get those corn chips or that absolutely favorite dessert or cook your favorite meal or sit on the mountains or go for a hike or be at the beach and give to your senses. Taurus has a lot to do with those sensual senses. You know, it's tactile, it's touch, it's if I want soft fabric on me or if I want to go lay out under the stars, there's a physical earth connection to the body with Taurus. And so Taurus people are coming into their birthday cycle. The full moon, lunar eclipse in Scorpio, happens to be hitting the western part of their chart because it's hitting the seventh house. So Taurians right now are beginning to put the pieces of the puzzle together about what works and what doesn't work in their most private, intimate lives. And they're deciding that, you know what, I'm okay with what skills I bring to the table in sensuality and sexuality, and I will be celibate or I will take some time before I will settle for less. So it's up to us to decide what kind of dance that we do, what kind of little songbird dance to attract a mate, or, the cat or the dog comes into heat, you know, and everything changes because of pheromones and hormones. So for Taurus and Scorpio right now, there's a dynamic of what'll hit you is, oh, wow, am I emotionally available or am I emotionally unavailable? My body wants them. I'm drawn to them with my eyes. When they touched me, it was different than when someone else touched my shoulder blade or the back of my neck. There's some kind of electricity with that, but it's a mystery. And sometimes it's that discovery. Sometimes it's that adventure to get to know a person that builds the sensuality more than just like, I want you tonight and I've had five beers, let's do it. That's like sports sex. That's like mood of the moment of like wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, so to speak, or sir. So yeah, that happens. But different than just the quick fix. Part of us as humans, we tend to do that rather than have to get more in touch with the chambers of love and the levels of intimacy. And yes, vulnerability is going to have to come out again. Oh my God, you might have to trust. Oh my God, you might feel things that you've never felt before in your life. That's what these eclipses are opening up, being in Taurus and Scorpio. They're going to hit Taurus and Scorpio the deepest. So my first thing would be like, there's emotional and intimate and a deepening that's going to go on for Taurus and Scorpio to do with romantic, sensual, intimate relationships with self and self-discovery, as well as what you'll manifest as an attracting partner. Because we're attracting what it is that we both want to learn from and also what we want to give to. When we're giving to a partner, how we touch the partner, how we engage with the partner in conversation, our love languages, they say. I don't think love languages are limited to five types only. I'm too Scorpio for that. So however we seek validation from someone else, if we are giving that, we're going to manifest the opposite and that back to us. That's what we're going to do. Because if we manifest some, if our love language is deeds of service and people doing things for us, and the other person's love language is so defined for this particular 10 years, they need cards and words and all that, and you're a quiet person, but you do acts of service, you do things for them, like you mop the floor, you do this, you do that, because that's the way you show love, and the way they need love is for you to tell them how you feel about them today. How did you like the meal they cooked? What do you think about the drive that you're going on? And you're sitting there as a quiet person, I'm like, that's like such minor shit, I don't care. I'm with you. I just want to be with you. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it all the time. But see, if the other person needs the words, you see where the challenge can come in. So if you're turned on every other kind of way with that person, and this is especially true for Gemini and Sagittarius this month, you might have to look at the whole structure, Gemini and Sag. It hits your sixth house, Gemini, and Sagittarius, your 12th house, of are you, maybe you need to up your game in how you express what it is you want, and also as important, what it is you don't want anymore. So if you're a Gemini, it's a sixth house thing. And I would immediately say in the first half of the month of May, make sure you're up to date with any kind of dental cleanings or any kind of medical stuff, or maybe for the first, 15 days of May, you do focus more on nutrition and holistic applications. And if you strain your back from lifting something too heavy, then take more magnesium. It's a natural mineral that's a muscle relaxer. Or again, like Nicole said at the beginning of the show, rest more, take a nap, go slide back under the covers. If you're an adult, who is it that's telling you you can't do it? Just go do it, and maybe you'll be up at from 12 to 4 in the morning because you slept during the day. Okay, that might be something new and different too. And maybe you'll get creative work done in the stillness and the magic of the wee hours of the morning. There's nothing wrong with it. Stop letting society's rules tell you that it's wrong to do creative work in your time zone between 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. But do the discipline with yourself that because you did that, that was different, that was interesting. I didn't have my normal daytime societal distractions of text and phone calls. Yeah. Then so you take a nap the next day and you turn the damn phone off. You answer your clients, you do what you need to do. But if you've got a day off or a day away from your obligations, then you say to your friends, I'm out. Don't text me between 2 and 7. That's going to be me time. Don't text me. I don't care whether I'm taking a bath, getting a massage. I'm not answering your text. So if you get all bougie and get your feelings hurt, I don't care because I told you in advance. Don't bother me. I need some me time. Don't bother me between 2 and 7 or whatever it is. So Sagittarius and Gemini, they always feel this compulsion, that why don't they answer my call? Why don't they text me? What's going on? I sent them an email 2 hours ago. So, gee, they're living their life. But see, Sagittarius and Gemini tend to need to be inspired and stimulated mentally, words, music, song, dance, some form of communication. And we've got an eclipse coming up saying, hey, Gemini, you're going to let that lack of text or message or response cause you to actually have an upset stomach and a headache and anxiety and go into the world of all the numerous possibilities and assumptions of what it could be. And you'll find out hours later after you've stressed yourself that it wasn't any of those at all. They just left their phone at home. So we tend to get these flights of imagination and insecurity. And I would say those two signs, Gemini and Sagittarius, because with Sagittarius, it's a 12th house lunar eclipse. And so it's people from your past. You may have dreams, ceremonies, meditative, psychic experience. Great time to go to a psychic if you're a Sagittarius, or go do healing work, deeper healing work, Reiki and chi, and increase your chi and prayer work, and put your eyes in the Bible and do your affirmations and anything that enhances you. Your discipline has to do with your spirituality, what anchors you spiritually. If you're a Sagittarius, go be with God, go walk with God, invite your eyes into things that are more spiritually enriching. Is it Rumi? Is it Gibran? Is it, your grandfather or your grandmother? Let yourself go to every area of educational inspiration that makes you the better version of yourself. If you're a Cancer Capricorn combination, Cancer, it's a fifth house lunar eclipse. So you're feeling a little sassy. For Cancers, I could say that you could improve your image somehow. You could flirt with life and let life flirt back with you. Because it's an eclipse, it could have to do with issues of children or grandchildren, depending on what stage in life that you're at. Spending time around a kitten, a puppy, a younger child, a younger up to about maybe age 11 or 12 would be very, talk about signs and omens, signs and wonders. If you're a Cancerian and you're spending time around a friend's child or your child or grandchild, they're out of the mouth of babes kind of a thing. Could be like, whoa, I just saw my inner child full blown with this child. And it could be somebody else's kid. But a scenario can create right in front of you to where it pops you right back into your past and you're like, oh, I know how to comfort this child. This exact same thing happened to me. Man, do I feel raw and real inside me now, and I'm 45 years old, and I went right back to that. So God has put me in a path to be able to be in this moment with this child where they're scared, where they're hurt, and I know exactly what to do that might not have been done for me. Sometimes spirit uses us as light workers in that way, too, to be in that right place, right time, to help even a stranger through a crisis moment that happens, the car wreck, the the dog running along the side of the road and you pull over and you've got dog food and you feed it and you catch it and you report it or you save it from getting hit. You know, sometimes when the spirit forces put that kind of scenario in front of you, yeah, maybe it's you that should participate to be that light worker. You know, it's not just at your seminars or it's not just on Zoom. You know, maybe life is saying to you, hey, you that's supposed to be, you know, dancing and breathing and eating and crapping light, get over here and help this dog. Yeah, I put it in front of you. Going to ignore it? Okay, I'll bring you something else then. So if you, in your spirit, it says, oh my God, I don't want that dog to get hit. I need to honk my horn. I need to get over. Oh my God, I've got dog treats in the car. I'm going to pull over. I'm not telling you to be codependent, but I'm telling you that a spirit puts certain things in front of you. The little old lady falls in front of you or the kid got away from its mother. You zoom into action going, hey, 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 you know, and you do what you need to do for that nanosecond to be the kind stranger instead of the creepy beggar. So if you're Capricorn, it's 11th house. And this is about Capricorns are reviewing their list of social connections and friends. So eclipses can make things go sideways. So if, like Nicole said, if there's deception that's been going on and it's been hidden, and I said the curtain's getting pulled back, if you Capricorns, if people come into our lives sometimes for a season or a reason, and it's just weird how it was like that person was in our life for those moments that helped us navigate through something. And maybe it's not bad. Maybe it's just like they did their job. It was the karmic contract we had with each other. And it's just ready for them to go away from us and go into the phase of someone else's life. We tend to take things too personal when it doesn't feel good anymore. And that doesn't mean just you getting your way. When it feels like that the energy is just backing up or backing off, or maybe they move and you're still friends, but you don't see them as much. If the energy is, you know, the ocean is going back out, you know, it's low tide and the ocean's retreating back from the shoreline back into the mother waters, then we just need to trust that cycle too. But for Capricorns, it's around, maybe you don't want to go to that bookstore or that coffee shop or that church. Maybe you're wanting to kind of explore your options and, you know, in the next month before we come back together again, maybe you'll visit the other church or the other group or read the other author or really, I'm psychically feeling like you're going to get a real big kick, wake up call to do with someone that was a friend that may just be leaving your life for a host of reasons. But it just feels like somehow the order of priority of your social connections or friends is going to change. Hmm. If you're a Leo, it's the fourth house, and this centers around your private life, your home life, who lives with you, who you want to talk to in your family, who you haven't talked to in a long time in your family. And with Scorpio, who's dying, who's birthing, who's moving out of the same city that you live in, that's a death of close at hand neighbors. There's some kind of an ending, beginning, exit, entrance that's going on around Leo's. It could be the kid leaving for college for the first time, but there's something about, even though it could be better for them, it's an adjustment for you if you're a Leo, because you've got these Taurus squares and you've got Pluto at 0 degrees of Aquarius, you know, testing the waters, putting the toe in the water of an opposition to Leo. So it's about Leo's. If I were speaking directly to you as a Leo, I would say find the daily joy. Leos do better when there's comedy and laughter and they can light up a room or someone lights up the room for them. So no matter how serious or odd or difficult it gets, at the very least, if laughter isn't the appropriate sentiment and it's a very serious scenario going on, be the encouraging word. Be the one that says, you know, I know you lost your dog, but by God, what a life you gave him. You really gave that dog, that cat, that bird a great life. You really made a difference getting that dog out of the shelter or all the days of joy. Focus all the days of joy, you know, when there's an untimely death of an animal or a pet. So I would, or a person. So I feel like there's something to, and it may be that Leos are kind of like, oh my God, I'm going through overwhelm with domestic repairs I've got to do. So there could be some of that. Something needs to be painted. The septic tank needs to be cleared. It's home and house kind of things for Leo. For Aquarius have just, I mean, they have just, they're happy, but they've just had their butt kicked when it comes to responsibilities and obligations to do with their career or their work matters. It's a 10th house thing. Is there a power struggle with an employee that wishes they had your position? Are you under pressure because the main boss gave you the new position and now everybody doesn't like you, but you've got to be the one that lays down the rules? Everything going on, progressing career-wise, work-wise, finishing up the college, you know, finally finding the job of what you took at that tech school, like you learned how to be a plumber and now you're in the field doing it. And that's a whole nother school when you start dealing with people's reactions. You know, you graduate and you know how to roof a house and you know how to be a mechanic and you know how to plumber and you know how to do all this, but then you got to deal with all these different people's personalities about that's too much. And how much time did you spend? You got to deal with a whole different thing besides just what you studied so hard to fix for them, you know, and instead of just turning around and say, well, you know, I told you what the price was beforehand, so I can go put that back the way it was and you won't have your toilet working anymore. We can do that because I'm not going to play that game. I came, I saw, I conquered, pay my ass. So there could be boundaries going on with Aquarians, you know, about, and for Leos and the family scenario of like, don't call me in a crisis and I come in and I fix it. And then you want to be a tightwad with me. Really? Or you want to like not see my worth. Remember, a Taurus Scorpio eclipse, wherever it's happening in your chart, is are you seeing your value? Are you undercutting your prices? Are you doing stuff to be a people pleaser and you're getting taken advantage of? They don't know that. Some of them do, but then you go home and you say, you know, how come they don't give me more? How come they don't buy me dinner? How come they don't? It's just like, well, why don't you just set your price and not feel guilty about it? How come you don't know your worth? You know, set the price with what the, look at what the going rate is and stop just being cheaper than everybody else. You know, don't devalue your own self and then get your feelings hurt or get butt hurt because somebody else said, yeah, that's a good price. Yeah, I'll underpay you every day. And then they start calling you more and more and expect more free stuff. Yeah, no. Bye, Felicia. So if you're Virgo Pisces, for Virgos, it's third house and their entire dynamic of how they process, how they think, oh my God, you know, Virgos and Geminis analyze.
Oh gosh, and they're looking at every single
yeah. And they're looking at every single possible scenario, you know, like they, and they kind of, the reason they do that is they kind of doubt their own selves to figure something out and they're wanting to show up and do it right the first time. So those are good intentions. But I think Virgos, the Virgo factor and the Gemini figure can definitely overanalyze or overthink. So, and sometimes for Geminis, they overspeak. Like they're more content and they feel emotionally secure if everybody around them hears the story, even if it's the same story again and again and again. And that's not just when they're senile. They do it at 12 years old. They tell all their friends the same story. Hey, guess what happened to me today? So it has nothing to do with age or senility. So Gemini just needs to tell you everything that happened to them today and what they're going to do and what they think about it. And Virgo's just like, why is this happening to me? What do I need to do about this? How do I keep getting stuck in this? Is this making me shut down mentally or intellectually? Or, you know, Virgo can have trust issues like Cancer and Scorpio. The Virgo aspect of your chart has got that eyebrow raised, watching where people are coming from and why. And why? So with Virgo, I would say it's a great time to do some wordplay like we've done today on the show with Nicole. Like, you know, for Virgo, I would say, because Virgo's balance and opposite sign is Pisces. Pisces loves fantasy and the trance. I want to go into the trance zone. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to feel it. I'm going to take a Xanax. I'm going to smoke a joint. I'm going to get drunk. I'm not going to deal with this stress today. You can't have me, world. I'm going into another realm. And sometimes that goes on with Virgos too. I know more Virgos that will seek to escape and get high than I do Pisces.
I would agree with you.
Pisces don't realize that they take on their opposite sign of Virgo and they get into manipulation and they get stressed out and they're worried about that. They get into that over analytical thing. What if this happens? And what if that happens? And what can I do if it does? And they just wear their ass out psychologically and mentally. The Pisces do. Where the Virgos are like, yeah, I don't have to feel that. Where's that trazodone? Where's that, you know, where's that, where's my little herbal concoction? You know, and it might just be chamomile teal, just saying. You know, you might choose chamomile, you might choose something else. But if it becomes, again, to the point of the show, your go-to coping strategy, and after a while, anything that we're doing that's not helping us is just like getting addicted to a drug or alcohol or a prescription because our hurts, as well as our joys, are cumulative. They add up. They impact us because of their long history. So Nicole and I are trying to bottom line say to you today, the more that you eradicate through the Scorpio lunar eclipse and let your old hurts die and take those leashes of those painful memories off of your heart, your ankle, and your mind, the more you say, you can't have me that way anymore. I am the captain of my ship, my mind, my soul, my body, my heart, my intimacy, and I don't want to do it that way anymore because that way stings and that way hurts and that way makes me run away. I'm going to shift some things up and I will confront it and I will deal with it before I get so hurt or so angry or whatever. So that's kind of, that dynamic's kind of out there for all of us as a background influence, but especially so for Virgo, Pisces, because for Virgo, it's the third house, and for Pisces, it's the ninth house. I love theater and music and dance and writing and drawing and artistry for Pisces right now with it over this next month. I feel like Pisces can really get some divinely sent inspiration that can help them get out of that, I need to have attention, I need to be noticed, I need you to hear me, can I tell you all my problems again? No! You know, Pisces, if you're going to have an escape into your higher aspects of spirituality, the ninth house is that the higher mind, and it's got to do with how inspiration can free you in a cacophony of ways. And if you're Libra, finally, Libra Aries, if you're Libra, the Scorpio full moon lunar eclipse is in your second house. So truly, it hits Libra with what's it worth? What am I worth? Is it worth it? Is it too much? Is it too much of a price to pay? Libras may be literally faced with some kind of eclipse volcano to do with, are they going to hold on to that asset? Are they going to go ahead and let it go? Have they collected and hoarded too much because all their stuff around them makes them feel like they're more of a success or they've done well? They can look at all the items that they've paid money for. If you stop and you look around your apartment or your house right now and you look at all the crap, you've got your ornaments and your books and your cookware and your flowers and your shelf and your furniture. And you look at it from a standpoint of how much money you've actually spent that you've worked hard for, you know, on the cabinets you want and the rugs you bought and the carpet you put in and all the nicky-nackies that you find out there. And then just go open up your closet and guess how much money you spent on your wardrobe. So, you know, so you could look sexy and look good and that's a good color for me. And, oh, that suit costs $1,000, but I like, you know, look at how much money you've spent. Then pat yourself on the back and say, that's in my life right now. I can look at that bookshelf over there and I can see the artwork and the stereo and the TV and everything I bought. So I am a success. I already paid a price to have those things around me. But how much do you go over to that little ceramic thing or that artwork and just dust it and stand before it and just, I bought you 20 years ago. When's the last time I really came and looked at you and I loved you so much to buy you then? That's Taurus. So the Aries part of it is the eighth house. And the eighth house, and just like she talked about a thunderbolt, there's a call trying to come in. So if you hear the beep, that's just emphasizing these signs of Libra and Aries. So the Aries sign, I always look at these external noises. It's like little ding, 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 pay attention. So for Aries, it's eighth house. It's sexy. It's deep. It's erotic. It's intimate. It's a little bit primal, scary, scary, scary clown, because it could be that one of those deaths, one of those transitions, one of those, wow, I'll never be the same way again with that job, that person, that family member. Something shifted in an immortal way today. And it's like that day our elders die, or that day that dog's no longer in our life, or that day that cat ran off and you didn't see it die, but you don't know what happened to it. Did someone steal it? Did it find another home? The great I am mystery of like where we have to accept what is, build our faith. But it's also a reminder when a cat runs off or a dog runs away or you have to give an animal away or whatever, you lose a house or whatever it is. It's also a reminder when something shocking like that happens or unexpected, it also puts you smack dab in touch with yourself at how well you are at your core of being able to cope with the sudden shock, the sudden loss, the sudden gain. It can be like the people that win the lottery. I mean, their whole life has changed. If it's big enough, their whole life has changed. Mm-hmm. Or the sudden death of a person or an animal that you love, or you're not going to get to live in that house anymore in that city, or crime has moved in all around you, and you once loved that trailer, that apartment, that house, that city, and now look at what people are going through in Chicago. Or these cities that have all these high crimes, and they're burning businesses, and like what went on in Portland, Oregon 3 years ago, that innocent people that didn't have anything to do with the George Floyd, you know, incident, you know, whatever you thought about that. I mean, it was like, here came all these people, just the people that had downtown businesses and they broke in and they stole and they burned. I mean, these are the minuses or what happens to people that don't work on themselves. They rage. They have mental illness. They go out of control. They have unresolved anger issues, and they want to go out and stash and stab and crash other people's worlds because they didn't deal with their own stuff, and they want to make it everybody else's problem. So guess what? If somebody starts to come through my door, I'm going to show them what a boundary is, one way or the other. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. They're going to stop. But you have to know that, like in martial arts, they teach you muscle memory. You know, martial arts, you have to, it's not just that you're learning how to fight someone, you're learning how to put blocks up to someone coming at you and hurting you. So the muscle memory is you take the arm and you bend it this way, or you know, if somebody's coming to strangle you, you don't pull your head back if they've got their hands around your neck. You take your forehead and you slam it into their nose, make their nose bleed. You're not trying to invite them to a fight, you just need time to get away. So the instinct would be, before you have muscle memory and training, if someone comes up to me frontal and tries to put their hands around my throat and strangle me to abduct me, the instinct would be you want to pull back to get away from those hands, don't you? Because they're tightening the grip. And when you lean back, the grip is being tighter. But if you take your forehead, which is mainly bone, and you smash it into their nose, it takes 3 pounds of pressure to break somebody's nose. Did you know that? Their nose is going to bleed. Their nose is going to bleed. They're going to take their hands off you going, what now? You know, because they didn't see that coming. I'm okay with that. Or you knock their legs out.
Self-defense with Mary DeCina on the Scorpio.
Well, that's it. Well, my cousin, my Gemini cousin with Scorpio rising. Yeah, well, Scorpio, listen, Scorpio's about defending your life too. Yes. And sexual attacks. So my cousin, who's a Gemini with Taurus moon and a Scorpio rising, had martial arts school all over this country and in the world. You know, so he taught for free many, many times, Larry did. He taught for free women that had come out of domestic abuse, you know, spousal abuse, relationship abuse, family abuse, and I would be his little ookie, as they call it. I had learned these things somewhat. I'm certainly not an expert at all, but I had to be the person that they would practice on because I had taken it 4 or 5 times before, right? Because he's a male. And if they've come from domestic abuse, he's not going to put his hands on them at all. So he needed females to do it, you know? So, you know, it's, we have to learn not to get offended or be triggered so quickly. That's part of this eclipse too. And that I would say the triggers could be happening financially for Libra, and with Aries, it could be like, why is this always happening to me? So with Aries, I would say, oh, for God's sakes, Aries, you just came out of your birthday cycle. This is a lunar eclipse in your eighth house. So you need to summon up some better medicine and mojo and juju, you know, so get creative with not always just getting angry about the situation or, you know, getting caught up in what's wrong and, you know, blathering that for hours ad nauseum. Instead, eighth house is very psychic and mystical and magical. Instead, you know, get creative with all the creative impetus that you have. And Libra, it might be a financial, it's a second house thing. It might be something or someone you really value. The second house in our chart isn't just money. It's the natural house of Taurus. The eighth house is the natural house of Scorpio. Mm-hmm. So right now with the sun in Taurus and the lunar eclipse, and it's intense. I mean, Nicole and I aren't cutting any punches with that. It's a very intense time that we go through in May. But it's about eradicating our excuses and confronting finally what we need to confront so it isn't costing us too much energy or money or stress or psychological drainage. Because if Libra, if you really value that relationship, but it keeps bullying you, it keeps not giving back to you, and you're the only one giving, you need to have a wake-up call. Why do you believe, Libra, that the only relationship in the world that you could ever have on this big old round planet, 365 days as we measure it on the calendar, that that's the only person that you could ever connect with, have sex with, have love you? Like, if you don't get that person, your whole world's going to die. Really? Yeah, it's a big planet. People look different. They have different, like kittens and puppies, they have different colors of skin, and they have different zodiac signs, and they come from different cultures. So maybe sometimes we put ourselves in too limited of a box, don't we?
Yes, no, we do. We absolutely do. Well, that was wonderful. Thank you for breaking down the signs, Mary.
Thank you, honey. It's a big shift. It's a big shift. We're all going to be, we're in cumulative resets. This is a reset. You know, we have to remember that we, instead of being fearful about getting hopeful again, because we might get hurt. So if we do that, then all we're doing is building up a high old, stash of doubts. and we doubt to open up again, or we don't ever want to open up because that hurt. I didn't like that. That wasn't fair. Me. And it's okay to feel angry or painful or shed the tears or kick the box or whatever it is, but it's not okay to keep taking that bitter pill. And it's not okay to throw out your negativity and project it onto other people. Just because the last person cheated on your ass, don't return the favor to the next person you get intimate with. Because they lied to you, make that ingrained into you. I will set boundaries about truth, and I will, even if I don't want to get their feelings hurt, it's my job to tell them, I know you want to go on this vacation, I don't want to go. What? We need to talk about it. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to hide it from you. I'm not going to make up a temporary emergency. You know, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to say it just doesn't feel right to me. I care about you. If you want to go, go, but I don't feel like I want to go. And if you hate me for that, that's the risk I'll have to take, because I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you, even if you want me to. I'm not going to do it. So as I say to people, faint hearts need not apply in my direction. You're going to get the real, you know?
Yes, it is. And so
but
to
everyone
another
Taurus
out there,
word. Here's yeah. another Taurus word. You're not going to get any bullshit, though.
No, exactly. Yep. And this is a full moon, everyone, where you can't run. You can't uh-uh. run from what's going to be shown in front of your face. And for some of you, you're going to be revealing your own face, and others will be really revealing theirs. And this is going to be a deeply emotionally felt full moon, but that's okay. That doesn't mean, it doesn't mean you have to be scared. It doesn't mean you have to run away from it. Feel it all, welcome it in, embrace it, let it show you what it's here to show you, and take the hints and the clues and take the valuable insights that come through this illumination in Scorpio. So Mary, thank you so much for being on the show once again. This was a very thorough eclipse analysis that we just went down through. Let everyone know where they can work with you if they want to get a reading with you. Oh, I mean, the eclipses are perfect times to
go see your astrologer of choice. Mm-hmm. Go see your life coach. It doesn't have to be me. It doesn't have to be Nicole. We love that. We love being supported. We're good at what we do. But for God's sakes, go invest in yourself. Don't look at your losses. If you've lost a lot, go spend some money on yourself and get some insight and get a deeper understanding with it through people that have taken and invested their hours, their money, and their time and their disciplines to learn how to help other people not stay stuck for most of their lives. So yeah, so and most importantly, happy birthday, Nicole. Thank you for all you do and all you give here pro bono for free. I hope you all appreciate that about Nicole, and maybe for her birthday, you'll invest in going to her gathering that she's going to have, the seminars she's going to do, the ceremonies that she leads and all that, because let me tell you, that's pure gold this lifetime. You go to something like that in person and you are forever changed in a host of good ways. So if you want to visit the Mystic of the Mountain here, it's marydusina.com, M-A-R-Y, D as in divine, U, S as in spirit, I, N as in now, and A as in always, marydusina with an S.com, Cosmic Conditions on Facebook, and on Instagram. I don't know what it is. You'll find me there if you just say
yes.
There's too many social platforms. Just go to the website. I do a lot of writing on there, and it's pro bono. I mean, if you guys knew how much stuff that Nicole and I do, as you would say, for free, that we don't get actual dollars and cents for, yeah, you'd want to spend money with us because we're that kind. So blessed full moon, lunar eclipse, until we meet again, light and love upon you all.
Yes. And for everyone, if you love Mary's full moon analysis, you may want to listen to her on Joe Roop's Lighting the Void podcast. She does the new moons every month. So check out Joe's podcast, Lighting the Void, as well. And for all of you, as Mary said, if you're interested in coming to the Forbidden Journey retreat on September 28th, 2023, this fall, I will be holding a 10-person only max retreat, three Mark. Nights, all inclusive. Everything's going to be taken care of. You won't have to think of anything. You're just going to show up and we are going to uncover your secret self. So it's going to be a great time. And it is during the full moon in Aries. So tickets for that are in the link below in the description below. I'm leaving the links for that. And of course, if you're interested in the group coaching for the Forbidden Journey, that is also going to launch next month. All right, guys, I love you so much. Have an incredible evening. Be on your toes for this full moon, okay, in Scorpio. There's going to be high emotions running. Don't let yourself sabotage anything that you don't want to sabotage. Keep your eyes and heart very open and learn. Learn from what is being illuminated for you. I love you all, and I'll see you next month.
Thanks again for joining me for another show on the Enlighten Up podcast. I love you guys so much for all of your continued support. So remember to raise your vibe, find your tribe, and be open to the infinite possibilities held in the mysteries that surround us all. Thanks again for sharing the show with your family and friends. And if you're new to the show and you need to find out more information about me, please head on over to my website, NicoleFrolick.com, where you can join my newsletter. And please follow me on Instagram, Telegram, and YouTube. Keep your light bright, and I'll see you next week.